Well, the House GOP plan sees a very limited role for any kind of federal government activity. Their budget at the end of the day would slow down important federal research at places like NIH. Our view in the Democratic budget is there are very important national investments that we make, and we make many of them through the work of people in the federal workforce, investments in science and research, investments in infrastructure, investments in education, and many of the civil servants who are involved in those efforts are helping to strengthen the economy through that kind of research, and it has made our economy and country strong, and we think it would be very counterproductive to turn back the clock.
The differences between your budget and the GOP budget, of course, have gotten a lot more attention than perhaps similarities. So my question to you is, are there any similarities? In other words, do you guys up there on Capitol Hill generally agree in some things that the federal government should be doing going forward?
Well, one area where I think both budgets believe we can achieve savings is, for example, in the area of agricultural subsidies. I think many of these subsidies have outlived their usefulness and their original purpose, and there's a lot of overlap in that particular area. I think we agree that we should be constantly searching for ways to make government more efficient. As I say, the difference is that once you get beyond finding those important efficiencies, the Republican budget sees there to be really no significant role for the federal government in these important areas I talked about, investing in science and research, investing in our infrastructure. If you look at the Republican budget next year, it would cut federal transportation spending by 46%. That at a time when we have 17% unemployment in the construction industry. There's always been a bipartisan tradition of support for the notion that the federal government will make investments in our national infrastructure. Going way back to the earliest days of our republic, right up through Eisenhower and the federal highway system. And unfortunately, at least from my perspective, the Republican view is that the federal government has no business. At least the view of the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party is the federal government has really no business in infrastructure. We should leave that entirely to states and local governments, despite the fact that our country has grown economically strong because we've become so much more interconnected, and federal investments have helped build that interconnectedness.
Well, to get back to areas of agreement, I think one thing everybody does agree on is that, you know, sequestration is a ridiculous process, intentionally ridiculous, in fact, and it can't be allowed to go forward. How do you deal with that? How would your proposal thwart it?
Our proposal deals with it very much along the same lines as the president's proposal does, which is we replace the sequester with $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction in a balanced approach. So we take a combination of cuts. I mentioned, for example, eliminating many of these ag subsidies. That's just one example. But we take a combination of cuts and revenue increases.
We're talking with Maryland Congressman Chris Van Hollins, and of course, he's also the top Democrat on the budget panel and author of the House Democrats' budget proposal. Now, your budget proposal is similar to President Obama's, but it's not exactly the same. Let's talk a little bit about the differences. How is yours different from the president's?
Well, ours differs in a number of respects. One is that we do not identify or adopt, I should say, embrace every single one of the president's specific proposals for achieving savings in particular areas. So, for example, in what's called the non-health mandatory side of the budget, that includes things like agricultural subsidies, that includes things like federal employee pensions, we instruct the committees to achieve certain levels of savings, but we do not dictate how. We give some examples of the things we would do, and one of them, for example, is ag subsidies. Another is with respect to the PBGC, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. We have some recommendations. We talk about a process for selling some surplus federal property. So we identify some specific areas, but we otherwise leave those decisions to the committee process. And we make it clear that unless we've identified an area for the committees to look into, we're not embracing the present specific mechanisms for achieving those savings. So, for example, our budget assumes no cuts to federal employee pensions. So those are some of the differences. We also achieve greater war savings. We assume that the United States will be, our troops will be out of Afghanistan by the end of 2014, which is the president's stated policy. So we don't keep this, big fund sitting out there for what we think could be abuse as a slush fund for years beyond the end of 2014. So there are a number of differences, but overall the architecture of our approach is and framework is similar to the president's. A major difference being that we don't tell the committees exactly how to achieve the savings. We point them in certain directions, and I've mentioned a couple of those. But beyond that, we leave the decisions to the discretion of the committee process.
And one last thing before we let you go, Sarah, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you a little bit more about federal pay and benefits, since that's something our listeners care about a lot. I believe the president's proposal is a 0.5% raise. The GOP proposal takes the freeze out through 2015. How would you handle that? Is it addressed in your budget?
Yes. The Democratic alternative adopts the president's COLA increase, the 0.5% COLA increase in our budget. So we do include that proposal. As I say, we exclude the proposals that would increase the pension contributions for federal employees.